Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Text 13. Tatikshaya Karunaya Maitra Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Cha Sarvatma Bhagavan Samprasati Samprasati Samprasadati. Am I doing it right? My God. Next birth. Samprasadi. Let me say it. Samprasadati. I get it that time? Samprasadati. 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 Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. Tatikshaya Karunaya Maitra Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Chasarvatma Bhagavan Samprasiddhati. I just had to sing it and then it comes out. Tatikshaya Karunaya Maitra Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Chasarvatma Bhagavan Samprasiddhati. Please chant. Tatikshaya Karunaya Tikshaya Karunaya Maitra Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Chasavatma Ram Samprasiddhati. Matajis. Tikshaya Karunaya Maitra Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Chasarvatma Bhagavan Samprasiddhati. Tatikshaya by tolerance, Karunaya by mercy, Maitra by friendship, Cha also, Akila universal, Jantushu unto the living entities, Samatvena by equilibrium, Cha also, Sarvatma the supersoul, Bhagavan the personality of Godhead, Samprasiddhati becomes very satisfied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is very satisfied with His devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. Please repeat. The Lord is very satisfied with His devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. Purport. It is the duty of an advanced devotee in the second stage of devotional service to act in accordance with this verse. There are three stages of devotional life. In the lowest stage, a devotee is simply concerned with the deity in the temple. And he worships the Lord with great devotion, according to the two rules and regulations. In the second stage, the devotee is cognizant of his relationship with the Lord, his relationship with fellow devotees, his relationship with persons who are ignorant or innocent, and his relationship with persons who are envious. Sometimes devotees are ill-treated by envious persons. It is advised that an advanced devotee should be tolerant. He should show complete mercy to persons who are ignorant or innocent. Hare Krishna. A preacher devotee is meant to show mercy to innocent persons whom he can elevate to devotional service. Everyone by constitutional position is an eternal servant of God. Therefore, a devotee's business is to awaken everyone's Krishna consciousness. That is his mercy. As for a devotee's treatment of other devotees who are his equals, he should maintain friendship with them. His general view should be to see every living entity as part of the Supreme Lord. Different living entities appear in different forms of dress, but according to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, a learned person sees all living entities equally. Such treatment by the devotee is very much appreciated by the Supreme Lord. It is said, therefore, that a saintly person is always tolerant and merciful. He is a friend to everyone, never an enemy to anyone, and he is peaceful. These are some of the good qualities of a devotee. Tikshaya Kurunaya Maitra Chakila Jantushu Samatvena Sa Cha Sarvatma Bhagavan Samprasiddhi. The Lord is very satisfied with this devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. Vijay Prabhu, he's from America, he's a minister of book distribution. He publishes a monthly kind of like little, actually it's not monthly, he does it more frequently than that. I think it comes out almost on a weekly basis. Different anecdotes of book distribution in different parts of the world, his own realizations. And in his little message to kick off the Prabhupada Marathon, he describes that this verse describes the consciousness that a book distributor should be in if he wants to optimize his book distribution service, if he wants to get the best possible results, distribute the most books. Okay, so let's dive into it. Okay, let's explore why he said this, and what's actually involved in achieving this consciousness, and why it's so effective to have this consciousness. Okay, before we start, I want to ask each one of you a personal question, and I want you to really think about it, and I want those of you who are pure devotees to kindly raise your right hand. Please raise your hand if you're a pure devotee. Okay? So those of you who are not pure devotees, could you kindly raise your right hand? Okay, now we have a lot of people that are abstaining. Maybe you think that this is a foolish activity, but actually, one of the reasons that I rushed through the Sanskrit, because I'm shooting for the white rhinoceros in today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Are all of you familiar with this expression? Prabhupada he encouraged his followers to shoot for the white rhinoceros. When you're out hunting, I've never hunted rhinoceri before, but it's very unusual to find a white rhinoceros. If anyone's seen these, the Discovery Channel, you know, it has all these videos of wildlife in Africa. So I've never seen a white rhinoceros. So it's a very, you know, like, I guess within those that hunt rhinoceri, it's to be considered a really big achievement. Okay, so my shooting for the right rhinoceros today in the Bhagavatam class is at the end of this class, I'm expecting all of you to be on the pure devotional platform. Now, you're laughing, but I'm serious about it. Now, there may be a spillover. I might not accomplish it fully in the next, 38 minutes. I'm hoping Vrajahari doesn't show up, and that way I can run a little bit over time. But, you know, it's actually not, it's accessible. Pure devotional service is accessible on the platform of sadhana. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping you will come in to this afternoon's class, even though it will be, you know, line for line English Hindi translation. So it may be a little slower moving, but we'll actually demonstrate some of the techniques of distributing books, and at least that are used in America. And there's probably a reasonable correlation within the Indian culture, but also some more specifics of applying the pure devotional platform, because this is basically what's described here. In Jiva Dharma chapter 8, Bhaktivinoda Thakur likens, he says that when one imbibes within his heart the principles of Uttama Bhakti, which are delineated by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, text 1.1.11, Anyabhilashita Sunyam Jnana Karmadi Navitam Anukul Yena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. When one actually, all of these characteristics have manifested in the heart, he's actually on the Madhyama platform. This is the transitory stage from Kanishta to Madhyama. Okay? Now, hopefully I haven't lost everybody. Some of you are familiar faces. I remember you from the Nectar Devotion course, so this is a quick review. For those that haven't taken the Bhakti Shastri course, in the Nectar Devotion course, within the Bhakti Shastri course, you're going to be your brain will be stretched a little bit by this class. So I'll try my best. Again, the white rhinoceros that I'm shooting for in the Bhagavatam class is by the end of the class, each one of you will be on the pure devotional platform. Because if you are on the pure devotional platform, your book distribution results will be phenomenal. And it's actually achievable, and I'll prove this to you, if I can. Brajahari's here, so I can't run over in the class. I was just saying, I'm shooting for the white rhinoceros, Brajahari Prabhu. By the end of the class, I'm expecting everyone to be pure devotees that's here in the class. Okay, so I'm shooting for the white rhinoceros, and I'm a little worried that I might not make it, you know, in 35 minutes, because that's what I got left. Wow! Okay, we're going to make it. Prabhus, Matajis, you're going to be pure devotees by the end of this class. Whew. Thank you, Brajahari. It was advertised as 8:10 to 9, so I was thinking, wow, how am I going to do this? I had it all in my mind, but then I started thinking, the time factor may kill me. I might get killed by the white rhinoceros rather than killing the white rhinoceros. Okay, so let us proceed. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanyanavitam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Okay, so Jai Sisi Gornitai, Jai Sisi Radharasa Bihari, Jai Jagannath, Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. I travel to so many different temples, I sometimes forget which deities I'm worshipping here. So, Anukulyena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Uttama. So, this is the Sarup Lakshana of Uttama Bhakti. This is the definition of Uttama Bhakti, and the whole nectar of devotion expands from it. It's it's a key verse, and actually, if we understand what Uttama Bhakti is, and we understand the commentaries that the Acharyas give on it, it makes it accessible. This is a case in point. Last night, I was saying how in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describes that the qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness is what? Huh? No, that's actual advancement. The qualification for advancing is based, and it's gradated. You know, we have different qualifications for advancing in Krishna consciousness, but it's based upon faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Why would Srila Prabhupada labor so intensely to translate, publish, and push you and me to distribute these books, unless there were a very good reason for it? So our qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness is based upon our level of faith and our knowledge in Shastra. I mean, I'll back that up. The impetus on the Vaidhi Sadhana platform for executing devotional service is based upon Shastric injunction and order of guru. Okay, we don't have spontaneous attraction on the Vaidhi Sadhana platform for doing anything. What to speak of getting up at 3 in the morning, chanting rounds and going to Mangal Artik and then doing everything that Brajahari wants us to do. Tells us to do. We aren't spontaneously attached to that. If we're a little more advanced, then okay. We may be spontaneously driven to do it, just out of taste, out of love and attachment, but it's not there yet. So therefore, as in military discipline, Prabhupada used that phrase in Bhagavad Gita, we do what we're told to do by Shastra, by Guru, and where does Guru get his orders for us, his instructions for us? He fine-tunes according to our guna, karma, and qualification, instructions coming from Shastra. He tailors it to our needs, right? Are we all on the same page so far? Any questions, comments, chastisements? Okay, so Prabhu, I got a 64-year-old brain. What is your name? Vijay Madhava. Okay, have to forgive me. No offense intended. It's human limitations. I'm bumping against them as I age. Okay, so he made the point, and he was wrong. The qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness is faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay, actual advancement, it's a different thing. There's a connection, but it's a different thing. And this is described in Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 71. Rati prema taratamye bhakta taratama. And this is one purport. Now, Prabhupada, for the most part, has used interchangeably the term Kanishta Adhikari, Kanishta Vaishnava. Okay, those two terms he's used interchangeably in every part of his books except in this one purport, verse and purport. Same thing with Madhyama Adhikari, Madhyama Vaishnava. Uttama Adhikari, Uttama Vaishnava. So, there is a distinction. I've asked senior devotees, why did Prabhupada kind of put those terms all into one package? And he said, just to simplify it for us. We're not so intelligent. But it helps a little bit. It helps a lot if we can make this differentiation. So in this one verse, and the Acharyas make pretty significant points about this. And this comes up in different commentaries, you know, in the Bhagavatam that Prabhupada uses, and his followers in completing the Bhagavatam also use. So a devotee is considered superlative or superior according to his love and attachment. Okay? This is actual advancement. Now that may manifest, like last night I was looking, down into the courtyard as I was going to the seminar that I was giving last night, and I saw the Inspiro. How's that? Inspiro? Inspiro. Conference. And these young men were dancing like in complete ecstasy. It was like amazing. They're going back and forth and twirling around. Now, so that love and attachment may be experienced on a beginning platform with just a taste, you know, the bliss that we experience in the process of our rendering service. Now, it changes, you know, and then we as we advance, you know, I'm speaking theoretically now, being a dyed-in-the-wool neophyte, but as we advance, you know, then we start, you know, first it's Nam, then it's Rup, then it's Guna, then Leela. You know, we actually, you know, on the Bhava platform, we enter into the pastimes of the Lord. Our senses are sufficiently purified that we can see Krishna. We can exchange with Him in a very powerful, loving way. So the process by which a devotee becomes attached to Krishna, and I say process, this is often misunderstood, is described in Antya Leela, chapter 4, text 192. Write it down. All you brahmacharis who got your notebooks, write this down. Antya Leela, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, 4, 192. Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpana. Se kale Krishna tare kare atma sama. At the time of initiation. Okay, listen to this. This is really wild. Okay, at the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the Lord's service, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Okay, how many of you have gone through the name-giving ceremony and been given formally accepted spiritual name, been given beads, made a vow to chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles? Please raise your hand. Okay. Now, let me ask you a person, reflect on this. At that time, at the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the Lord's service, okay, so of those of you who raised your hand, how many of you fully surrendered at that time to the Lord's service? Now please raise your hand. Now, there's quite a dichotomy here. What's going on? Okay, so if you had done that, okay, at the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the Lord's service, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Okay, the Shingananda did. Okay, so let's clarify all this. How do we understand this? Prabhupada quotes this shloka in text 5 of Nectar of Instruction. Now, pay attention, everybody, because if you pay attention and really get this, and really let it enter your heart, you're going to be a pure devotee at the end of the class. Okay? 100% guaranteed. Okay? So no sleeping, no drowsing, no spacing out, no thinking about what you're going to take for prasadam at 9. It's not going to be 9:30 anymore. It might even be 10 o'clock. My dear devotees, unless someone starts throwing rotten tomatoes at me to get me off of this seat here. Okay, so then Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami from the Bhakti Sandarbha. Okay, and he says, I won't give the Sanskrit because I'm racing against the clock. You know, Brajahari has been very merciful to me, but I don't want to, you know, take more than I need. Okay, I don't want to push my luck, as we say in American parlance. By Diksha, one gradually becomes disinterested in material enjoyment and gradually becomes interested in spiritual life. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit. Prabhupada prefaced this reference from Antya 4.192 by saying the process, not the one day deal, you know, the 45-minute fire sacrifice, but the process by which a devotee becomes attached to Krishna is described in Antya Lila. So it's a process that begins, just like, for instance, Srila Prabhupada began the process in 1922 when Narendra Malik, his friend, at that time Prabhupada was a Nugrahasta, he was a student at Scottish Churches College in Calcutta, and he wore the cuddy of a Gandhian follower. Okay, now, as you know, how many of you read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita? Oh my goodness, we have a lot of books to distribute to those that aren't raising their hands. Where's Gokuleshwar? He could teach to take note of this. There's a lot of devotees that didn't take hands. They're prime candidates for receiving the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. That's like a six-volume set, right? That's six maha big book points. Okay. So, anyway, in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, there's a description of how in Prabhupada's childhood, his father, being a very pious and devout Gaudiya Vaishnava, would practically at every meal, every noon meal, would invite sadhus over for lunch. And these sadhus, like Prabhupada described one sadhu to his early disciples, who would live with his husband, with his wife and children, and when it was time to go out and beg, in other words, time for his job, he would put on his uniform, the saffron, okay? And then other sadhus, you know, were ganja smokers and womanizers. So Prabhupada didn't have a very good impression of these, quote, sadhus. So when Narendranath Malik wanted Prabhupada, because some of his family members had, you know, had come into contact with some of the Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyasis, and they invited him to meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Narendranath went to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was very, very impressed. So he wanted Srila Prabhupada, his close friend, and he was also considered the leader of their little clique, their little group of associates. And they wanted to get Prabhupada's opinion. They wanted him to buy in to associating with the saintly sadhu, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada was very resistant, but Narendranath Malik just insisted, kept pushing him. So Prabhupada, he finally agreed. So they went to Ulta Junction Road in Calcutta, and there was a building, and on the roof of the building, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving Pravachan. And there were many people seated there, and as they came into his association, Srila Prabhupada and Narendranath Malik, being Gaudiya Vaishnavas, offered dandavats. And as they were rising from the floor, even before they got up and sat down, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "You are educated young men. You should dedicate your life to preaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world." They hadn't even gotten off the floor. Now, Srila Prabhupada, being a very intelligent person, you know, he had some questions about this instruction. He said, now how, you know, being a follower, you know, he, you know, on a superficial level, he'd bought into the teaching of Mahatma Gandhi, you know, that India needs Swaraj. So how, you know, Prabhupada made the point to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how could the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be taken seriously when India is still subordinate to British rule? And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur very expertly defeated them. You know, this goes way beyond this temporary situation. This is completely transcendental to this, to time, place, circumstance, all these considerations. And he went, you know, went back and forth, and Prabhupada was very glad that he was defeated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And at this, and in this 2-3 hour period, he accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in his heart as his guru. And after they left, Srila Prabhupada exclaimed to Narendranath Malik, "He is such a wonderful person. Lord Chaitanya's mission is in the hands of a very expert personality." So, the process of Diksha began. And then in the next few months, Prabhupada relocated to Allahabad. He was working for Dr. Bose in his pharmacy. And so Dr. Bose wanted him, the pharmaceutical business was new to India at that time. And Dr. Bose wanted to expand his business into North India. So he sent Prabhupada there, and Prabhupada opened the Prayag pharmacy, and he started going out to different locations in UP and North India to increase Dr. Bose's business. So it wasn't until 1933 that Srila Prabhupada saw Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur again. But the process had already begun. And then there were some Gaudiya Math sannyasis and brahmacharis that came to Allahabad to preach. And they told Srila Prabhupada that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was doing, okay, now remember, by the end of today's class, all of you are going to be pure devotees, but there's some fine print in the deal. You got to stay awake, okay? So it's important. Okay, to enter pure devotional service by 9:45, 10 o'clock, whatever, you got to stay awake, okay? So somehow or other, do the austerity, because it's important. In order to advance in Krishna consciousness, what is the qualification? Faith. Okay. Let's not get it confused now, my dear devotees. Okay, so faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay? If we have that, that gives us facility for developing love and attachment for Krishna. Do we have any MBA holders here? Anybody got their MBA? Please raise your hand. Okay, we got two over here. So that MBA and the training that you went through to achieve it gives you qualification to make a lot of money. Okay? Now, just because you got the qualification doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make a lot of money. But it sure does help. Okay? So, having faith in and knowledge of Shastra is a qualification for spiritual advancement. Whether you become advanced or not, that's another thing. That depends upon your relationship with Krishna, how sincere you are, how deep you go in trying to cultivate that love and attachment, how serious you are about applying the principles of sadhana bhakti. Tigache, as we say in Bengal. Okay? So let's move ahead. So then Prabhupada went to this Kartik Prakrama and just spent one day. He went to Koshi, and the sannyasis that were organized made an announcement that some of you could go, there's an option. This will be the last day Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is on the Prakrama. He's going to speak here at Koshi. And others, remember, you got to stay awake. Okay, and others can go on Parikrama to Sheshayi Vishnu. Okay? So, practically everybody, except for maybe 10 or 12, went on the Parikrama, but Abai stayed with the intimate leaders and heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for 3 hours. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur revealed the spiritual world. It's like Prabhupada described, it was amazing. You know, how much I understood. Things became so clear. And he went so much deeper in his relationship with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It's a process. Okay? Process was rapidly accelerated with that Sangha in Kartik and Vrindavan. Okay? So then 1 month later, you know, he went back, only one day there, stayed overnight, went back. You know, and the next morning, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur got in the car and waved. You know, everyone offered dandavats to him, and he was gone again, you know. Second time in 11 years, he got the Vapu Association of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Okay, so then 1 month later, some sannyasis, Gaudiya Mata sannyasis, came to Allahabad and said that they were going to open a temple. And there was a British government official that was coming for the cornerstone laying ceremony. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would come and he would give initiation at that time. And Srila Prabhupada, even though he was brand new, so to speak, he wasn't known to the Gaudiya Math members. And he said, could I take initiation? And Atulananda Brahmachari said, well, we'll ask Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur when he comes. So then, you know, a little while later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, nobody leave because you haven't got to the pure devotional platform yet. Okay, it's important. Stick with this because we're going to get there. Don't worry. It may sound like I'm wandering around a little, but we're going to get there. Okay, so then, and if you get there, you're going to do so big. Now, there's a quota that the temple set for itself. You're going to find out what your group quota is, what your team quota is on Wednesday. But there's a quota set for 2 lakh Maha Big Books. If you come to the pure devotional platform by the end of this class, you understand what you got to do and you follow it, it's going to be much bigger than 2 lakh Maha Big Books. Believe me. Brajabihari, you're going to love me if we can pull this one off. Okay? You'll even, maybe something like 4 lakhs, okay? It's the formula for empowerment. We heard it, I distributed with Vijay for many, many months over different periods of my devotional career. He's a super empowered devotee. If he said this is the most important verse to set the consciousness, and really what's being described here is a pure devotional platform. If you do it, you'll do so big, you won't even believe that you're doing it. Actually, you're not doing it. Krishna is using you as an instrument. Okay. So then, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur comes to Allahabad. Okay? Big event. Okay, Atulananda Brahmachari. No. It wasn't Atulananda Brahmachari. It was Keshava Pragya Swami. Introduced different candidates for initiation. He introduced Srila Bhaktisiddhanta to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he said, here's Abhay Charan. And immediately, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, yes, I know. I've marked him. He hears well. He does not go away. He could tell just by the intensity with which Srila Prabhupada listened at Koshi. Maybe also he remembers 11 years. I mean, after all, Naishtiki Brahmachari. Shrutidhar Brahmachari, right? You know, never forgot anything he ever read, you know, ever heard, stuck. Okay, so he remembered Srila Prabhupada. Okay, it's a process. And he went to Diksha, incidentally, okay, guess who didn't attend the Diksha ceremony when Prabhupada went back after he was known that he was going to accept Diksha, told his family members about it. Guess who didn't come? Huh? Yeah, that's right. His wife didn't come. It's a process, Prabhu. So anyway, So let's get back to coming to the pure devotional platform. So this is the process by which we get there. The process of diksha begins when we're first introduced to Krishna consciousness, when we first hear the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. And it takes us from that position to the platform of bhava, when we have sufficiently purified senses, mind and intelligence, and enter into the past, and can actually enter into the pastimes of the Lord. That's what's meant when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the Lord's service, bhava, okay, Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. Because he's right there. You know, buddy buddies. We're friends. You know, Satya Ras, Madhurya Ras, Vatsalya Ras. You know, there's this loving exchange where awe and reverence is no longer a factor. We're right in there together. You know, we've got this intimate relationship. Okay, got it? It's a process, my dear Prabhus. And this is how we come to the pure devotional platform. So a big part of this process. Now, okay, so let us say everyone here is on the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti platform. So there's 64 angas of Vaidhi Sadhana that we practice. That's part of the process, okay? Now, the door to bhakti, the doorway to bhakti, is described by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12.83. Okay, you can write this down if you're really serious about getting a full understanding of this. So not only will you come to the pure devotional platform, but you'll stay there. You know, anukulyena krishnanu anu. You know, this anushilanam means it's continuous. It's relentless. It doesn't let up. Okay? So that's part of the pure devotional platform. So you need this qualification of faith and the knowledge of Shastra. Okay, so then of the first, so there's 64 angas. The first 10 are do's. Second 10 are don'ts. Those first 20 are the doorway to bhakti. Okay? Of those first 20, the first three are said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary said, these are the most important. Anybody know what they are? It's got a lot to do with diksha. Guru Parashraya, little hint here in Sanskrit. Taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Okay? Taking initiation from him and following his instructions. That's two. Serving him with love and devotion. Okay. So, this is actually how we do it. We take instructions. And Prabhupada gave us so many instructions in his books. And then we serve him. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadek shanti te ganam ganinas tatvadarshana. Pariprashnena sevaya. So we're making submissive inquiries and we serve. So how do we serve? Srila Prabhupada Maritana Ki Jai. It's one of the best ways to please Prabhupada. We're going to show a video. We're showing two videos at the 1 o'clock presentation, and they're mind-blowing. Just to give you an idea of the level of priority that Srila Prabhupada placed in his own life, because he followed the instructions of his spiritual master on translating these books, on publishing them, and getting them distributed. It was his highest priority. Even more important, the most substantial contribution that Srila Prabhupada made to this planet is his books. ISKCON's a facility for these books to go out. You look at the seven purposes of ISKCON. It's all about studying the books. It's all about education. It's all about distributing the books. This is a vehicle by which these books can go out. Why? Out of the compassion of the acharyas, the intelligence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the intelligence of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the intelligence of Srila Rupa Goswami. This is how we get facility to advance. So out of Prabhupada's compassion, he gave us all these books. Okay, so now, Anukul Yena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Okay, this is the Sarup Lakshana, the primary characteristic of Uttama Bhakti. Anukul Yena. Anukul Yena Krishna Nu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. To serve Krishna favorably, as Krishna desires, and it's continuous, and it's following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Okay, everyone got that? Oh, that's all you got to do. Okay, and then there's some tweaking on that, some details with this Tatashta Lakshana. Okay, so now we're going to make this accessible for you. We're going to allow you to do this if you really concentrate and pay attention to this. It's you know, I've taught Nectar Devotion 14 times. Since in the last 8 times, I did this little thing. You know, that I'm expecting you by the end of this class and the lesson on Uttama Bhakti to be practicing pure devotional service. And it's worked for many, many of the students. Does that sound like too big of a claim? Does it sound like American salesmanship? Well, it is, but it works. Okay, so you gotta apply it. And I'll give you all the fine-tuned details so you can actually do it regardless of the level that you're on now. You can actually come up to this platform very, very quickly. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he described, I just made incredible progress at Koshi. At Koshi, when he heard from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for the second time. So advancement doesn't necessarily have to be slow and steady. We should be very steady, no doubt about it, but it can accelerate. It can go in powerful spurts, particularly if there's a big injection of faith in and knowledge of Shastra. Okay, got it? You're all ready? Everyone wide awake? I'm thinking that maybe we should, just to heighten your concentration, we should ask everybody to do an Hiranyakashipu Asana. We did it last night and it worked pretty good. Should we do it? What do you think? It's all right? Okay. So let me demonstrate the Hiranyakashipu Asana. Do me a small favor. Don't follow Hiranyakashipu in any other way. Okay? I'll really be in trouble with Brajahari if you do. Okay? So, you feel better now? Everybody wide awake? Works. Pretty good, huh? Hare Krishna. Okay. So, let's dive into it. Any questions so far? Everybody with us? All crystal clear? Maybe I'll break it down a little bit. Anukulyena means favorable. Okay? Now, there are elements of this favorability. Two main elements. One is that our intention is to please Krishna. Okay? That's one element of the favorability. For instance, Kamsa was always meditating on Krishna. would we say that Kamsa's engaged in pure devotional service? Why not? Huh? Yes, I'm an old man, you know, Ami Puran Manush. So you gotta speak super loud. So what is he doing that's not favorable? Yeah, trying to kill Krishna. Okay, so that's not Uttama Bhakti. Alright, so then another element of favorability, anukulyena, is that one actually is doing things that are pleasing to Krishna. Okay? Does that make sense? So now, here's an example that Giriraj Swami gave in a 1992 Nectar Devotion course in Vrindavan. He went out on life membership in the early days of the Juhu Project. He was the one that collected for most of what were the facility that we're enjoying today. A very empowered personality. Right, Mataji? One of his devout disciples sitting in the back there, who played a big role in helping create this wonderful Nectar Devotion course that he taught so many times and laid the foundation, you know, for many to give the Nectar Devotion course. So entered into a very deep understanding of it. So he would go out on life membership, and one time they went to a very big man, and he was a little puffed up with his devotion, and he had a little silver container that he had Tulsi Manjaris in. And he said, anything I eat, anything I drink, I put a Tulsi Manjari in, you know, out of devotion, right? So even when I drink chai, and he had his servant bring in some garam chai, and he put Tulsi Manjari in, and he drank the garam chai. Okay, Uttama Bhakti or not? Why not? Yeah, he doesn't follow Shastric injunctions, not pleasing to Krishna. We know what's pleasing to Krishna on the basis of Shastra, Guru, and Sadhu. So that also is a part of the favorability. And then Krishna. What does Rupa Goswami mean by Krishna in this shloka? Anybody have any idea? Okay, now remember, Ami Puran Manush. Okay, here's a microphone, even better, so they can hear you in the back too.
Hare Krishna. So it includes...
Nice and loud, right into the mic.
Okay. It includes Krishna, his devotees, his paraphernalia, his dham, everything.
Yeah. So, like, if you're rendering service, let's say, if I do Vijay Madhava's clean his dhotis, and I give it back to him, and there's a lot of love and devotion that I'm doing this, it's within Uttama Bhakti, because I'm serving a pure devotee. At least, we will be serving him after the class today, right? Okay, so, don't think that Vaishnava Seva is not pure devotional service. That's the misconception that a Kanishtha may have. You know, he's just worshipping the deity, and oh, I'm so devotional, and got so much bhakti, and he treats, you know, other devotees like, bleh, you know. So, or he treats other living entities, rather than having the compassion, you know, to help them come to Krishna consciousness, he's abusive, right? You know, maybe sometimes we witness this type of behavior. So that's not Uttama Bhakti. Okay, so then, Anushilanam. Okay, Shilanam means cultivation. Okay, and Anu means following or continuous. Okay, so it's a continuous cultivation. For instance, if I come to Sri Sri Radharasa Bihari Mandir and put some, 500 rupees in the hundi, okay? And, you know, sing along with the bhajan. And then I go outside, go to a pan stall and get some pan, all right? And then get some cigarettes too. And now, I'm doing, you know, is that Uttama Bhakti? Because it's not continuous, right? and it's not following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Okay, so now let's get to the what kind of really makes... Okay, so that's all clear. I think everybody can probably try their best to do this, and there's no confusion. The problem comes on the basis of our previous shameful lives. I'm saying lives in plural. Our heart is still contaminated with material attachments. Anybody have that problem? Please raise your hand. Okay, anybody not have that problem? We got a lot of people that abstain from our voting here, and I don't know what we should do about this. Maybe we'll give you a reward if you vote on every vote. Okay, we'll have a piece of burfi waiting for you at the end of the class. This is actually a facilitation technique to fully engage your intelligence. Okay, make sure you're awake. So what were we talking about? Vijay Manavai. Okay, so here now we enter into the detesta lakshana. These are the secondary characteristics. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnanakarmanyanavitam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Okay, the first two lines, anyabhilashita sunyam jnanakarmanyanavitam. Okay, so anyabhilashita sunyam. Anya means other. Abhilas, desires. Ta, I'll get into that. I'll explain that in a minute. And then sunyam, completely devoid, no material desires. So no one raised their hands that they're free from material desires. Does that disqualify you from practicing Uttama Bhakti? Huh? You attended the Bhakti Shastri course, you big cheater. You know the answer already. Okay, so let's understand this. Okay, so, and then let's go on to the second line. Jnana karmad yanavritam. Okay, anavritam means not covered. Okay, so this implies anartas. We may have anartas, but as long as we don't allow it to cover our bhakti, the sarup lakshana. Anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. As long as we don't allow, these material attachments to cover our body, we just go on anyway. Okay, so now let's go to that first line. This is a very, very significant point. If you fully understand this, this will empower you to practice Uttama Bhakti. And the next time I give class and I ask how many of you are pure devotees, you'll be able to raise your hand in full humility. Okay? Does that sound a bit too much? No? Okay, so let's try to enter into understanding this. Now, Rupa Goswami could say, Anyabhilas Sunyam, okay? Which means devoid of any other desires other than to serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. But he didn't say that. He added the suffix ita, or ta. Anyabhilasita Sunyam. And that gives it a different understanding. That ta means any desires that are as deep-rooted as one's very nature. Okay, so, for instance, I really want to be a devotee. This is the essence of my life. This is what drives me through. I want to be a devotee. It's not, I want to be a Kropati. Okay, that's not Uttama Bhakti. I want to be a devotee. Okay, so that ta, that anyabhilasita, if we have fleeting desires, okay, I use the example, here we are in Mumbai, and in Mumbai there's Bollywood. Okay, so let us say that a Bollywood, okay, this is for the men, okay, let us say that a Bollywood starlet walks in for darshan, and all of a sudden, but instead of thinking about making a date with her and meeting with her and starting a whole relationship with her, you immediately bring your mind back to the Bhagavatam class. You ignore it. You insulate yourself from, you know, you see her personal beauty. It affects you. There's a awakening of a little lusty feeling, but you don't pursue it. You go on with your bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna nu shilanam bhakti uttama. Anushilanam. You know, it's continuous. You don't go for it. It's there. You're affected by it because of your past sinful activities, you know, and the attachments that come from it. But you insulate yourself from it. Okay? You got it? Anyabhilasita sunyam. So there's a, you're devoid of the deep-rooted desires, you know, that just drive people. You know, that they're their prime motivation in life. You know, to get a beautiful wife and enjoy with her. You know, so grihasthas, they may get married, but that's their main business is serving Krishna favorably as Krishna desires continuously. They get a wife because they need that to stabilize their consciousness so they can effectively, you know, according to Daivi Van Ashram, execute their devotional service. But they're upakurvan brahmacharis. They don't take the wife for sense gratification. They take the wife, they stay in a brahmachari mood of only serving Krishna with their senses. They engage in, they have children with the Garmadan samskara, you know, to bring a Krishna, to bring a soul into the world and have them become a pure devotee. Okay? Everybody clear? That's the key point. Okay, so now how do we do this? How do we actually insulate ourselves? How do we maintain proper consciousness when there's influx? Apuryamana machala pratishtam. What is that? Apuryamana. It's like rivers flowing into the ocean, you know, all these desires, and we're not disturbed by them. It's, 272, I think, right? Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat. Anyway, Hare Krishna. So, what do we do when these attachments start manifesting in our consciousness? And how can we, remain stable and insulate ourselves and go on the Uttama Bhakti platform? Now, when I say Uttama Bhakti, this is the process of pure devotional service. Don't confuse this with the Uttama Vaishnava platform or the Uttama Adhikari platform. Uttama Bhakti is a process that one can begin on the stage of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and continue it up to Prema. You know, and that process is greatly facilitated by the process of Diksha. This is what the primary component in this whole process, Diksha. The process of Diksha, not the ceremony, which is part of the process. Okay? We all clear? So, everyone's wide awake. No need for another Hiranyakashipu asana, because we're getting into the really nitty-gritty of how to do this. Okay? Because remember, I'm shooting for the white rhinoceros. You know, I'm selling you like a good American salesman, and taking fully up the process of Uttama Bhakti so that at the end of the class you can say to yourself, you don't have to brag about it, say, I'm a pure devotee now because I'm actually doing what Rupa Goswami made really clear by his precise definition of Uttama Bhakti that we should do. Why did he go through the huge endeavor of compiling the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Why did Srila Prabhupada translate it? Unless he wanted us to come to the Uttama Bhakti platform. Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? It's not just there. Like, the essay that I give, I don't know if I gave it to you, I don't think I had evolved that far, you know, as a teacher. But I asked the devotees to describe the Sarup and Tattastha Lakshana of Uttama Bhakti, go word for word. And then I go on to say, and could please describe your challenges in practicing Uttama Bhakti and what your strategies are to meet those challenges. So it's not just me, little old me, that's expecting you to practice Uttama Bhakti and be on the pure devotional platform. Rupa Goswami expected that. Srila Prabhupada expected that. And your Diksha Gurus, I'm sure, are expecting it. And if you do it, you're going to be incredibly pleasing to them. Just like here's the shloka today. The Lord is very satisfied with His devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. And Prabhupada in the purport describes this as the Madhyama Vaishnava platform. And as I mentioned earlier in the class, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in chapter 8 of Jivadharma that when one manifests these qualities of the Madhyama Vaishnava platform, he's on the pure devotional platform. Or vice versa. He goes both ways on it. When these qualities of Uttama Bhakti awaken in the heart, and in another 25 minutes will awaken in each one of your hearts, then you're on the Madhyama Vaishnava platform. But part of being on the Madhyama Vaishnava platform is recognizing that, you know, I'm a fallen person. This is also described in the commentary in Sri Sanmodan Bhashya by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his commentary on Sri Shishastakam. If you need a copy of it, Sanatan Gauranga will give it to you. Right? I sent that to you, right? You sure? Have you read it yet? Okay, text 3, really important. This is how we can access the potency of the holy name. Tanadapi sunichena torori vasihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Okay, so what do we do? How do we stay on the Uttama Bhakti platform when there's an infringement in our consciousness based upon our previous karmic tendencies and these material attachments that arise in our consciousness? How do we do it? Okay, so Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in a commentary on Canto 11, Chapter 20, Text 27 and 28, he's already there, so you can leave. You're excused. Vajahari Prabhu. He's already on the Uttama Bhakti platform. It's demonstrated by the Nishta characteristics. You know, 10 years of being in the hot seat here in Juhu is not a small thing. Put yourself in his position sometime. With everything that goes on here, whoo, man. It's intense. Huh? He had an appreciation. There it is. See, Uttama Bhakti. Confirmed by Nisringananda. Okay, so what do we do? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes it very clear. You can write this down. 11:20. This is Lord Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. Text 27 and 28 in the purport. Okay? There's a long kind of soliloquy, or kind of a meditation that's in quotation marks. Gopi Prandan doesn't attribute to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, but that's what it is. Okay, it's an explanation of how to insulate oneself from one's the contaminations from previous past sinful activities that bring in these attachments into our mind and go on the Uttama Bhakti platform. Okay, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur starts out by saying, due to my past shameful lives, there's many illusory attachments. Personally, I can't do anything to stop them. Only you, Lord Krishna, can remove this inauspicious contamination. But whether you remove them, this contamination or not, I'm going to go on with my devotional service to you. Even if you, Lord Krishna, place millions of obstacles in my path to purify me of this past contamination, or this contamination from my past, or if you put me in hell, I will not stop serving you for 1 second. I'm not interested in mental speculation or fruit of activities. Even if Lord Brahma himself personally comes and offers me such facility. Even though I'm attached materially, I understand that this simply creates a disturbance for my devotional service. So I lament, I repent this attachment, and I'm patiently waiting for your mercy, my dear Lord Krishna. So this is the mood. Now, Srila Prabhupada says in the preface to Nectar of Instruction, that advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the attitude of the practitioner. So this is the attitude that we need to have when this material contamination starts coming into our consciousness. This is the attitude, this is the mood, and this is how we can be insulated from it and go on practice Uttama Bhakti in spite of that contamination. Tikache? In case if you don't know Bengali, that means, is that okay? I know about 10 Bengali words, so not there for 17 years. Kind of thick-headed, you know, when it comes to learning languages. Okay. Are there any questions or comments at this point? We're getting close to it now. How do you feel? Are you beginning to understand what it takes to practice pure devotional service now? Is it starting to resonate? Do you think you can do it? Are you going to do it? Come, as we say in America, come hell or high water. It's achievable. It's something that's accessible. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami has made it accessible for us. And we've got powerful facility in the holy name. So if we sincerely cry, here's another real interesting point, okay? While we're talking about it. Okay, so these anarthas, these unwanted contaminations that come in, and the material energy is trying to cover our bhakti. Okay, in Bhajan Rahasya, this is super important. In Bhajan Rahasya, text 2.42, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that one who fails to try to free himself from anarthas meets only with misfortune in this life. Okay? So you got that? Think about what that means. Okay? So first of all, we have to be conscious of what anarthas are. That also comes about, incidentally, by the qualification for advancing in Krishna consciousness. If we study Shastra and we measure ourselves against the pure devotional platform and we see, I'm not there. This is a contamination. This is an anartha. You know, how many years do we go on with pratishta? You know, wanting to be recognized for our service, being and puja, being worshipped. Or kuti nati. You know, the fault-finding tendency. Oh, he's not so good. Look at what he just did. You know, and by doing that, then we pole vault ourselves into a superior position. And it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I believe, in his commentary on Kuti Nati, describes that it's like, has anybody here ever taken and a bath in ass urine? Please raise your hand if you've ever taken a bath in ass urine. Okay? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that kuti nati, this fault-finding propensity, and the accompanying duplicity that comes with it, is like bathing in ass urine. You're thinking you're getting yourself clean, but actually, you're becoming completely contaminated by it. This is a weed to devotional service. It's an anartha. It's something that sometimes we fall into in our ISKCON communities. Okay. So then, when we recognize the anarthas, humility will begin to sprout in our heart because we can see, oh my God, I'm like this. This is where I'm really at. One has to be honest and introspective. And with that humility, then we can Trinadapi Sunichena Chorori Vasahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. We can cry to the holy name. Okay, so then interestingly enough, in the next verse in Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that on one's own, one cannot free himself from anarthas. Okay, no, let me back up. Okay. I want to go back to 2.42. So, one who fails to try to free himself from anarthas meets only with misfortune in this life, and he does not receive the mercy of the holy name. That was a wake-up call. Okay? So he doesn't receive the mercy of the holy name. Okay, the next 2.43, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, on one's own, one cannot free himself from anarthas, but he can by the mercy of the holy name. So what one has to do, if one cries to the holy name for several days, then the holy name removes the anarthas. Removes all anarthas, he says. He makes a really shooting for the rhinoceros clean. So that's how we do it. It's also how we insulate ourselves from them. We take shelter of the holy name, you know, when these anarthas manifest, and cry to the holy name, dear Krishna, please, so many lifetimes I've forgotten you. So many lifetimes I've tried to enjoy separately from you. Now please engage me in your service. Please reinstate me in my constitutional position. I've suffered through the cycle of birth and death and untold miseries. Now please let me serve you. Anarthas dissipated. That's the mood, the attitude that we approach the holy name. The holy name is so powerful. Okay, got it? Do I need to say any more? You got the formulas in place so that now you can practice Uttama Bhakti. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. No excuses. Any questions or comments? Okay, let me touch on one more point, and then we'll adjourn. Okay, now please use your intelligence to come up with questions or any doubts that you have about your ability to practice Uttama Bhakti. Because I promised you at the end of this class, I don't want to break my promise. I promise you that you would be pure devotees at the end of this class. And I mean it. Okay, so here's a question. Go ahead, Prabhu. Snat and Gauranga, Prabhu, Ki Jai. Nice and loudly, so that everyone can hear.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Okay, super loud.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
I can tell this is a good question. Super soul is prompting me within the heart.
So, as you mentioned
close
that...
Close to the mic. Really
as you,
loud.
As you mentioned... that it's a process of diksha, and it starts with surrender.
Nice and closer to the mic.
It's process of diksha, and it starts with surrender, complete surrender.
No. Complete surrender takes place at the stage of bhava. A process of increasing levels of surrender, increasing levels of purification, increasing levels of sincerity, like that.
Okay, I got it wrong.
Is that clear? You know, now one interesting point about this is that diksha just doesn't involve the diksha guru. In 1992, the GBC passed a resolution that made it very clear that Srila Prabhupada is the foundational Shiksha Guru for every member of ISKCON. In Harinam Chintamani, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that the Adi Guru of the Sampradaya, in other words, like Madhvacharya, today's Madhvacharya's appearance day, So he's the Adi Guru of the Madhva Sampradaya. Okay? The qualification for subsequent gurus to function as gurus is that they fully understood and imbibed the instruction of the Adi Guru. Now look at ISKCON. It's really like a unique sampradaya all of its own. Srila Prabhupada's the founder acharya. He's like the Adi Guru of ISKCON. So the qualification of any subsequent guru, any of his followers to become guru, is their fully understanding and accepting and applying Srila Prabhupada's understandings and instructions in their life. And also directing their disciples to Srila Prabhupada. I'm not speaking Ritvik philosophy. This is just, it's our line. You know, this is a Shiksha Guru line that we're in. The Diksha Guru also plays an extremely vital role because he's oftentimes an extremely prominent Shiksha Guru. This is ideal in his disciples' life. Shiksha, there may be in a course of a lifetime of devotional service different Shiksha Gurus that are more prominent at different times in one's life. Tigache? Okay. Any other questions before we move on to this? Yes. Okay, Prabhu, here's a microphone. Well, you have a question too. Why don't you hand it to him? He's sitting there very patiently listening to me shooting off all this hot air. Have you got it turned on? Let's leave that microphone on so we don't have this fumbling act every time we pass
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Nice and loudly. Can someone help him out? Just get up there and show him what to do. Go ahead. Finished? He doesn't want to say it, no. Okay. Go ahead. Prabhu, you have a question?
Not working.
Not working? Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Nice and loudly.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned in the class that when you see that you have anarthas, you cry to the holy name, you know. But that doesn't happen on a steady basis. Like, you're crying someday and someday you are...
Well, therefore, you have to strengthen your spiritual intelligence by regularly studying Shastra. You know, and use that as the guide in your life rather than your material intelligence, which in the Paranjana pastime is likened to a materialistic wife. It's anushilana. So you're recognizing this. You're recognizing, I mean, in a very humble way, that you don't do this all the time. So start doing it all the time. That's what anushilana means. Start right now. Don't waste any more time. You know, so many lifetimes you've been in this material world. End it on this lifetime. Does that make sense? Be super determined. Utsahan nishchaya daryat. You know, sadbir bhakti prasidyati. This is how this allows us to be successful. The utsaha. You know, the determination, nishchayad. And patience with yourself if you're not always on the platform you want to be, but then you pick yourself up and you go ahead. With full utsaha. There was once a discussion between Srila Prabhupada and his senior disciples in the early years. And his disciples asked Prabhupada, why were you so successful over and above your God brothers in spreading Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada's response was, because I have utsaha. So, well, you know, what's utsaha? It's, Prabhupada defines it in text 3 of Nectar of Instructions as endeavoring with, in Krishna consciousness with intelligence. The intelligence comes from Shastra and Guru. And you're just like, so, you know, you're so excited. You just do it really forcefully. Nishangananda Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Janmasthami Prabhu, for enlightening us so much.
you said one thing. I have also I also have a previous engagement, so I have to run. But I wanted to make this one point before I left. One comment that you, something you said. I said that's not exactly the whole picture. And you had, you'd said that the temple was built by the Life membership in Bombay. And I was just
I was glorifying Giriraj Swami.
Yeah, of course. Prabhupada put his full faith in Giriraj Swami so much
for good
so
reason
that all of his other disciples were told to actually consider him the final decision maker here in India.
And we see the result.
Right. So I started looking at Advanipedia, just in some of the letters to Giriraj Swami, because you had said that you had not completed that description, because actually what Prabhupada did was he put Bombay Temple number one in the building fund, that all the money that was, all the Lakshmi that was being generated from overseas, mainly America at that time,
book distribution,
was to be sent to the building fund for Mumbai, from Bombay. Not only that, but Prabhupada said that whatever books are sent from America to be distributed in India, because there wasn't hardly any printing going on in India at that time, that could be taken as a credit towards the building fund for this Bombay project. So I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at your frame by these marble pillars, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's so important to realize that every piece of marble here, all every ounce of construction practically, albeit there was some donation from the Life Membership Program, but mostly it's made out of books.
Yeah.
Every little piece of this temple is due to the fact that we sold books. And Prabhupada made the profits from those books go into this building fund. And I just kind of felt it important because we're in a book distribution mood now.
Right.
And when you look around, I don't see the marble half the time. I see Prabhupada's Bhagavatams and everything else that have built this. His even his small books, his easy journeys, and all everything that he, you know, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, all those that were available in 1972.
Right.
And there was only, I think we were only up to the fourth canto, I think, fourth or fifth canto by that time. And yet, we would go out in the street and sell fifth canto.
Right.
We didn't care. It was transcendental. So that's what I see when I look around at this white.
That wonderful comment. Thank you so much, Nishangananda Prabhu.
And will you excuse me?
Okay, no problem. But that's really, you know, this is a good lead-in to what I was going to make. You know, there's a, you know, in this whole process of Diksha, Prabhupada, in the commentary, when he discovered the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhagavad Gita 241, Vyashyatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahu Shaka Yanantascha Buddhayo Vyashayinam, it just came alive for him, because this Vyashyatmika Buddhi, you know, this single minded intelligence, it's really comprised of making the order of the spiritual master one with one's heart and soul. And because the American devotees did this with book distribution, it was incredible what was going on when I joined the movement in 77. You know, wow. Like so many books were going on. It was just intense. You know, how dedicated and how surrendered devotees were to doing these books. And the movement just expanded from that. Just like you'll see this video that I show at the 1 o'clock presentation of Prabhupada's vision of how this movement would expand. Like, incredible. And you'll also see a video demonstrating the depth of Srila Prabhupada's dedication to this Vyashyatmika Buddhi principle. So, that's another huge point, you know, in practicing Uttama Bhakti. You know, the Anushilanam means to engage the body, mind, and words in a positive way, the pravrittis, and avoiding the nirvrittis, body, mind, and words. So we need full engagement of the senses, and that's where the angas of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti come into play. So one in the most, you know, these three first ones are super important. You know, following the orders of the spiritual master, that's the third one. We do that, you know, yasha prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasha prasadan nakatika topi. This is how we please Krishna, how we make advancement. If we don't do it, it doesn't work. Okay? Any other questions or comments? We're getting close to the end here. We're all of you, okay, over here, Prabhu. Microphone. Don't turn it off. Keep it left on so we don't have the fumbling act every time.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So, Prabhu, I was thinking that by the end of the class, you'll end up that by distributing Srila Prabhupada books, we'll come to the platform of pure devotional service.
You actually, if you fully apply these points that have come up in this class that are coming from Srila Rupa Goswami, because it's a very precise definition. There's still some confusion in your mind. You should, he'll give you all kinds of documents. It's not in Gauranga. He's the document distributor for those that are very serious about practicing Uttama Bhakti. Then, you know, you'll be able to do it. It's just a question of your Utsaha Nishchaya Daryat. You know, you just, and then all success will be there. And simultaneously, you'll be on the Madhyama Vaishnava platform, and the Lord is very satisfied with his devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. You'll have your biggest Prabhupada marathon ever. 100% guaranteed. You won't imagine how many books that you're able to do. Because Krishna can use you in an instrument, as an instrument. You'll be within the Antaranga Shakti. Not the Bahiranga Shakti, where you're looking at all the pretty girls and thinking about how much money you're going to make someday, or blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever the nonsense mind is pulling us into. Yeah, Prabhu, go ahead.
So the last point is, I want to say that the other day I read a quote that Prabhupada is saying that philosophy is important, but more important is practicing the philosophy.
Say it one more time, nice and loudly.
Prabhupada is saying philosophy, knowing the philosophy is important, but more important is to practice the philosophy. And practicing the philosophy, like we distribute books, is practicing the philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, because that's, you know, to follow the order of the spiritual master. He wanted all of us to distribute books. That was his biggest priority, to get them out somehow or other. And even if we have our primary service may not be direct book distribution, we should still participate as much as possible. You know, half hour a day, whatever. You know, whenever we get an opportunity to distribute the books. That's what's very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. You can't imagine how many days I'd work in extremely difficult circumstances in America. I'd distribute it in airports with a lot of negative energy. You know, there were businessmen that used to walk with their attaché cases, their briefcases, and they would swing it at devotees distributing. You can guess where, to try and disable them as much as possible. I went to jail many, many times in America. One time I was facing 25 years imprisonment if the charges that were placed for distributing books. If I was convicted for the charges that were placed against me. My parents had to put their house up on bond to get me out of jail. There's a $50,000 bail set on me by the judge. I mean, so many challenges, but every single day I was floating in bliss. You know, I'd walk out of the airport, go on these automated walkways. My feet weren't even touching the ground, you know, at the end of a hard day of book distribution. And the whole airport terminal would be Chintamani. Just this incredible reciprocation that Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and the Parampara would give to the devotee when they try their best to distribute Prabhupada's books. Very, very, very deep reciprocation. And so many blessings to actually apply the process of Uttama Bhakti. And the process of Diksha is the integral part of Uttama Bhakti to bring us to the stage of Bhava, where we can very intimately exchange with Krishna. in a genuine way, no artificial pretend way. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. Okay, hand on the mic. Don't turn it off. Run it over to him. Quickly.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
What was your experience in jail?
What experience did I have in jail? It was great. I was serving Krishna. I was there because, you know, the demon, the maniac civilization that I was living in, they didn't understand. But I'd always preach to them. There was one policeman that arrested me over a period of 4 years, 3 times. And the second time, he said, "Oh, it's you again." And then the third time, he said, "Oh, no, it's you again." And he was actually glad to see me. You know, he started calling me by my first name. So, you know, not negative. You know, it's all Krishna's arrangement to bring me closer to him. You know, sometimes, you know, then people would threaten me in jail. There's some pretty rough characters in jail, you know, and so they see someone weird like a Hare Krishna and they want to beat you up or do something, you know, some vicious thing. But Krishna always protected. These are opportunities to take deeper shelter in the Lord. That's why Krishna arranges it. You can look. There's a very wonderful verse and purport. Those of you who have your notebooks, write this down. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, text 19. This is the passing of Bhishma Dev. And there's a description of the different bhavs that Krishna has with his devotees. He describes the Vatsalya Ras that he has with Mother Yashoda, this loving parental exchange. And then the Sakya Ras that, everyone's got to stay awake. You may not be there yet. So then there's the Sakya, Sakya Ras that Krishna has with Arjuna, this deep, loving friendship. And then, Krishna describes the tribulations a devotee undergoes is another transcendental bhav with the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Krishna puts his devotee in distress to deepen his devotion. Hare Krishna. So in the commentaries on 10.14.8, this is the famous Mahavakyam for processing distress. 10.14.8, write it down if you don't already know it. If you don't know it, learn this shloka for your own good, my dear Prabhus. Okay, and then Tate nukampam shukshumikshamano bunjane vatma kritam vipakam ridvag bapurbira vidadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bak. One who always tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions. One who always seeks your mercy and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions. Goes, you know, based upon his past sinful activities, and goes on rendering service with body, mind, and words, offering obeisances from the core of his heart to you, Lord Krishna, he enters into pure devotional service because it's become his rightful claim. Okay, so now, I'm running out of time, but this is a key verse, and in the commentaries, you know, this is pretty clearly conveyed by Gopi Parandan in the purporting of this shloka, that when one takes up Uttama Bhakti, he's no longer under the laws of karma. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajan. That's from Bhakti Ras, or from the Brahma Samhita. Kleshagni is the second characteristic of pure devotional service, And when we enter into deeper and deeper understanding that, we can understand this is not karma that I'm suffering. Last year, my hip bone died. I ruptured a blood vessel and the hip bone died. I was in bed for 7 weeks. But it wasn't karma. It was Krishna's loving exchange to bring me closer to Him. When I was a new devotee in the first year, I had 135 boils. Big ones. It was just to help me. I didn't know the philosophy at that time. But it sure got me off the bodily platform. You know, I had one boil that was about this big, right in the back of my neck. I had to be hospitalized for it. It developed during my first Prabhupada marathon. But it helped me. Helped me come closer to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada marathana ki jai. Pure devotional service ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bo.